Would you guys give it up for Miss Robin? Isn't she amazing? Are you guys grateful for her? So yeah, yesterday was kind of a crazy day. We were just hanging out, chilling, and then I get a phone call like at 5:30. You know, just I was going to get some boba, you know, just regular stuff. And I get a phone call. Pastor Lee's like, "Do you want to preach tomorrow?" And I was like, "Not really, but okay." I'm super excited to be up here, and I'm super grateful for the opportunity. Bianca and I, this is my beautiful wife, Bianca. Would you guys give it up for Bianca? She loves when I put her on the spot, so that was super fun. For those of you guys who I haven't met, my name's Edgar Urias. I'm super grateful to be here. I'm originally from Midland, Texas. Anybody from Midland? 432? No? Cool. All right. We moved here to Katy at the beginning of August, and we really felt God was bringing us here. We didn't know why. We came here. We didn't have any jobs lined up. We were just coming to move closer to Bianca's family because we had just had a baby, and so we were like, "All right, God, we're stepping out, and whatever you want to do, like, let's do it." And so we've been here, and we're super happy. We're super grateful not only to be in Katy, but to be part of Go Church. You guys are amazing. I don't know if you guys realize what you guys have, or I guess what we have, because I consider myself part of this now, but you guys should be grateful. This is an amazing place. This place, the building is temporary, but you guys are amazing, and we're super grateful to be part of it. So give yourselves a hand if you would, please. I saw some of y'all in the crowd like, "I am pretty great, you know, it's cool, it's whatever, no big deal." So yeah, let's jump into this. Is it okay if I pray before we go into it? All right, if you guys would just bow your head and close your eyes. Father God, we just thank you so much for this morning, God. We thank you for your presence in this place. And Lord, during this next part, Lord Father, during the sharing of your word, God, I just ask that you would just help us block out distractions, God. That you would open up our hearts, Father, to what it is that you have for us today, God. Let us take something, Lord, from this message, God, and let us walk out and apply it into our lives, God. We just love you so much. We praise you and we worship you, God. It's in your precious name that we pray. Everybody said? Amen. Amen. So if you guys would open up your Bibles to Luke 10:25. Luke 10:25. I don't know about you guys, but I was raised in a church that believed that the Word of God deserved a response, right? How many of you guys believe that the Word of God deserves a response? Yes, three of you guys, cool. How many of you guys believe that the Word of God deserves for you to respond to it? Yeah, amen, right? James 1:22 says, "But be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves," right? So what that verse tells me is that the Word of God deserves an action from me, right? And so during the message, during this time, while I'm sharing, if you guys feel led, if something that I say or something that's preached just sparks something on the inside of you, don't be afraid to you know, let something out, like a hallelujah and amen, right? Or preach that little brown boy, right? Say something, right? Give me something, all right? Because if not, I will get awkward up here and I will throw the mic at somebody, and we do not want that, okay? So Luke 10:25, we're going to go ahead and jump into it. It's a pretty common passage. It says, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested Jesus, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' Jesus said to him, 'What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?' So he answered and said, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as you love yourself.'" Verse 28, "And Jesus said to him, 'You have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live.' But the young lawyer, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?' Verse 30, "Then Jesus answered and said, 'A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and also passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion." Verse 34, "So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, take care of him, and whatever more you may spend, when I come again, I will repay you. So which of these 3 do you think was the neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? The young lawyer said, he who showed mercy on him. And Jesus said, go and do likewise. Right? Go and do likewise. So the expert in the law was trying to approach Jesus. He was trying to, he was asking Jesus the question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Right? What must I do to live in eternity with God, to live in eternity in heaven? Right? Which I think is a pretty, it's a pretty good goal, right? I think everybody in this room is striving for that same goal, is shooting for that same thing, right? Jesus responds with an answer that if you've been in church for a while, you've probably heard a million times, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your, and with all your strength, right? And also love your neighbor as you love yourself, right? I think a lot of times as believers, we have a tendency to want to focus on that first part of that verse. Right, all I need to get into heaven, all I need is to have eternity with God is to love the Lord, my God, with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, and with all my strength. Right, and I think a lot of times we disregard the second part of the command because the verse doesn't just stop there. Right, it doesn't just say that. It also says, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. Right. That's good. I think we should aim to love God with everything that we have and with everything that we are. But the command that Jesus gives us doesn't end there. It doesn't stop there. Jesus follows this up by telling the story of the Good Samaritan, right? Which if you've been in church, you've heard this story millions and millions and millions of times. It illustrates how 2 men, they passed up on a man who was robbed and who was left for dead on the side of the road, as I'm falling here. And then another man came, picked him up, and gave him a place to stay and took care of him and nursed him back to health, right? I think that's a beautiful picture of what Jesus has done for us. While we were lying, while we were hurt, while we were desperate, he came, he picked us up, and he nursed us back to health, right? He brought us back. But here's the part of the story that really bothers me, and I never really, like, noticed this until I was studying for this message. And as I was reading this, I got a little angry, which I guess I shouldn't do when I read the Word of God, so I guess I should probably see someone about that. The thing that I got out of this whenever I studied this a little more is the first two, right, that passed this man and just left him for dead, they weren't just regular old Joes, right? They were, the two people that passed up this man were Christians. The two people that passed up this man were Christians, right? The first was a priest, and the second was a Levite, which meant that he was part of God's chosen people. These were men who were supposed to know God. These were men who were supposed to be an example of who God is in people's lives, right? They were supposed to be giving the example. They passed by this guy, and they did nothing. Basically, they passed by him and said, "You're not worth my time. I have more important things to do," and kept walking. I think as believers, we have a responsibility to let the world see what God has done in us by the way that we live our life, by the way that we carry ourselves, the way that we interact with people. So we're going to go through this passage, and I want to give us a few reminders when it comes to loving our neighbor and what I think will be helpful going forward. So I'm a super practical guy, so these are going to be pretty practical. So if you're taking notes today, which I encourage you to do, the title of today's sermon is The Journey. The Journey. Look at your neighbor and say, The Journey. Now look at your other neighbor that you don't like as much and say, The Journey. Just joking. That's a joke. Okay. The first truth that I think that we can pull out of this passage that applies to us as far as loving our neighbor is, number one, don't give yourself an excuse. Don't give yourself an excuse. All right, let's jump back to verse 29. I'm going to read it out of the Message translation. It says, looking for a loophole, the young lawyer asked, and how would you define neighbor? Right? It says, looking for a loophole, he asked, how would you define neighbor? So this guy was supposedly an expert of the law, right? An expert of the law back then would have to know the law word for word, right? From beginning to end, he would have to know every single word of the law, okay? And so do we really believe that this man did not know exactly what he was supposed to do? No. To me, when I read this, it kind of sounds to me like he's trying to get out of it, right? I remember when I was a kid, and if you're a parent, maybe you've experienced it, maybe not. Maybe I was just a weird kid. But I remember when I was a kid, any time that I wanted to leave the house, any time that I wanted to go anywhere, my mom would ask me one question. One question, and it was consistent every single time. She said, "You're allowed to go, but have you cleaned your room yet? Have you cleaned your room yet?" Simple yes or no question, right? Either yes, I've cleaned my room, or no, I haven't cleaned my room, okay? But me, being the super smart kid that I was, I would approach my mom, and when she would ask me the question, "Well, have you cleaned your room yet?" "Well, Mom, what would you consider clean? Like, what is clean? You know, like, what exactly is clean? What are you looking for?" Right? See, it wasn't that I didn't know what clean was, is that I was trying to get at, like, I was trying to see if what I had done already would be considered enough to be clean, would be considered enough to be good enough. It seemed like this man was trying to figure out if maybe what he had done already was enough to count as loving his neighbor. I think it's this attitude that we have to be careful not to catch. It's the attitude that says, "Well, I've done enough to pass as good enough. I've done enough to pass as loving my neighbor. I've done my good deed for the day. I'm good. I'm done," right? We have to be careful not to catch the attitude of good enough, right? There was a former football player by the name of Kurt Warner. Anybody ever heard of Kurt Warner?
Yeah.
Yeah. All the men were like, "Yeah." Super deep voice. Yeah. So Kurt Warner, coming out of college, he wasn't like super, you know, looked at by a lot of scouts. He had a pretty good college career, but he wasn't like over the top, right? And so coming out, he wanted to play professional football, which I, you know, a lot of people in college football want to. And so he was like, "All right, that's my goal. That's what I'm shooting for. That's what I'm going to do." Okay. And so he finished his football season. He went to a couple of tryouts for some teams. The draft came and the draft went. And my boy Kurt did not have a football team. Like, he was not drafted. He was not picked up. Now he was left out on the street to find a regular job, right? And so Kurt Warner, after his college football career, after his great college football career, guess what he went and did? He went to go stock shelves at a grocery store. He didn't get drafted by an NFL team. So what he did next was he went and got a job, right? He went and stocked shelves at a grocery store for $5.50 an hour, okay? So he went from having this huge dream, these huge possibilities, to now I'm stocking shelves, right? I'm stocking shelves. But throughout this time in his life, Kurt didn't really give up, right? He kept training, he kept working, he kept trying to improve every single day. And eventually, you know, he would hear about a workout and he would go, a tryout, and he would go, "Well, you know what, Kurt, you're not quite good enough yet." So he'd go back, stocking shelves again. But he kept working and he kept working and he kept working. And then finally, he went to one tryout and they were like, "You know what, Kurt, you're good enough to make the team. You're good enough to make the team." "Yes, cool. I'm on my way to my dream now," right? So he's in the league now. He's a fourth-string quarterback. Then he keeps working, he keeps working. Now he's the third string. Keeps working, now he's the second string. Next thing you know, Kurt Warner is starting. He's a starting quarterback in the National Football League. But see, he didn't settle there, right? That wasn't enough for him. He kept working and he kept working. And in the year 2000, he found himself playing in the Super Bowl, the grandest stage of all, right? And guess what? My boy Kurt won the Super Bowl. What's up? Right? So he's a 2000 Super Bowl champion now. He went from stocking shelves at a grocery store to now winning the Super Bowl. And the following season, he was due for a contract. My man signed a contract for $46 million. So I go from stocking shelves at a grocery store, getting $5.50 an hour, to signing a contract for $46 million. Why? Because Kurt Warner didn't give himself an excuse. It would have been real easy, and I think a lot of us would have, once our dream didn't pan out, once things didn't go the way that we thought, we're now at our grocery store job. I know I would have been like, okay, well, I mean, I guess this is as good as it's going to get for me, right? I would have given myself excuses after excuses after excuses to not go after what God had called me to do, right? Because that was his calling, you know? That was what he was supposed to be doing with his life. What would have happened if he had called it good enough and just stayed where he was? He would have never accomplished those things, right? Excuses will keep us from reaching what God has called us to reach. Or let's put it in the context of this message about loving our neighbor. Excuses will keep us from reaching who God has called us to reach. Right? Our excuses cannot get in the way of who God has called us to reach. Don't give yourself an excuse to stop serving people. Don't give yourself an excuse to stop loving people. In our everyday life, it's really easy to give ourselves reasons why we can't serve people. Right? Well, I'm too busy. Like, I go from point A to point B to point C and then back home and I'm done. Like, that's my day. Right? Or my kids have practice. My kids have dance. You know, there's all kinds of different things that are going on in our life that we could use as excuses to not love on people, to not serve people. And I think a lot of us in here, and I'm including myself in this, we love our me time, right? Raise your hand if you love your me time. That's my time. I'm sitting on the recliner. I'm watching TV. I'm watching Netflix. Like, I'm not, no, that's it, right? Like, that's all I'm doing. But what if we were to turn our me time into a time where we made it about somebody else, right? What if we were to use our spare time to go serve somebody, right? To call up an organization who does community work and, hey, you know, what do you guys need? How can I help? What can I do? How can I help somebody today, right? How would our community start to look different if everyone in this room started doing that? Look way different, right? It would look way different. Let's not be too busy like the priest or the Levite. Let's not be in so much of a hurry that we miss the person that God's put in our path. We're called to serve others around us. 1 Peter 4:10 says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms, right? So God's grace has various forms, and it's expressed in each and every single one of us, right? God's given you a gift that only you have, right? You're able to reach somebody that Pastor Lee's not able to reach. You're able to reach somebody that the person next to you isn't able to reach. Why? Because God's placed something specific and unique on the inside of you, and he's waiting on you to use that gift to affect somebody else's life. Right. Is this making sense to you guys? Yeah? All right, cool. Cool. Y'all are awfully quiet. I'm about to throw the mic at somebody, so. Do what? The second truth that I believe we can pull out of this message is number two, you can serve anywhere. You can serve anywhere. Okay, so the man that ended up helping the person in need, what was he? What was his occupation? He was a Samaritan, right? I mean, that's where he's from, right? But what did he do? It doesn't say, right? Right? Does it tell us that this man was a pastor? Does it tell us that he was a priest? Yeah. And we'll get to that. Look, you read my notes, didn't you? Yeah. Right, he wasn't an elder in the church, he wasn't, you know, he was just a regular old Joe, right? He was just a regular dude who saw somebody who was in need, saw somebody who needed help, and he decided to help. I don't know what he was doing, right? Maybe he was running errands, maybe he was driving Uber, I don't know. He went to go pay his electricity bill, I don't think, you know, could have been anything. But he was going about his business, he saw somebody who was in need, and he filled that need, right? A lot of times, I think we have a tendency to discredit ourselves because of where we are in life, right? When I was in college in Dallas, I was a cashier at Sam's Club. And, man, usually some characters being a cashier, like, for real. Like, you see some people, man. But I was a cashier, and you know, at that time, I really needed a job, and so I was like, God, like, wherever you want me, like, place me there. Just put me there, and I'll do whatever, All right, and so I showed up, and they were like, all right, we need a cashier. I was like, boom, I got you. And then they were like, we actually need somebody outside pushing carts. And I was like, cool, all right, let's do it. I got you, right? And so, from a corporate standpoint, in Sam's, like, I was, like, bottom of the totem pole. Like, I was the scrub guy that could be, like, kicked out at any point, right? And so I was there, and I was like, you know what, God, like, you know, if there's something here that I need to be doing besides this, like, show me, you know? And, like, I prayed that one night, and the next day, like, I was just chilling in the break room, and this guy came in, and he was like, so you're a Christian, right? And I was like, what? Because I had never, like, I didn't walk in, like, with, like, hey, I love Jesus, you know, like, on my shirt, you know? Like, I was, you know, I just did my job. I worked hard, and, you know, I just, you know, did what I could. And this guy was like, you know, like, you're a Christian, right? And I was like, yeah. And he proceeded to ask me questions about, he had had some hurt with the church before. And he proceeded to just ask me questions about what, you know, why the church believes this. And what does this mean in the Bible? And you know, and I got to walk with him through some issues that he was dealing with, all because I just made myself available. Just because I said yes, right? Doesn't mean you have to, like, carry a sign that says, I'm a Christian, ask me questions. Like, you just literally, by the way that you live your life, the way that you carry yourself, you give people you not only give yourself an opportunity to reach out to people, but you give people an opportunity to reach out to you as well, right? But a lot of times I think we discredit ourselves because of where we are, right? Maybe you'll say, I'm just a student, like, what difference can I make, right? I work full time, what could I possibly do? I'm a stay-at-home mom, like, how can I change what's going on around me? How can I make a difference right where I'm at? What am I able to do? I just do fill in the blank. I want to encourage you guys, like, serve where you are and watch what happens. Like, you don't have to have a fancy title, you don't have to have a degree in anything to serve others. The thing about serving is that it's so, like, opposite of what culture is saying today. Right, if you look at culture today, it says it's all about me, it's all about what I want to do, right? And so when you approach somebody with an attitude of, hey, like, how can I help you? How can I serve you? What can I do for you? Where do you need help? Where do you need prayer? Right? It's so different to people, right? My wife and I will go to restaurants sometimes and we'll get our food and we'll be like, hey, like, we'll call our waitress over, like, hey, we're about to eat our food and pray. Is there anything that you need prayer for? And you'll get the weirdest looks just asking somebody if they need prayer. They're like, what? Like, what? Like, they wonder, I guess, if they have something on their face that makes them feel like they need prayer. But every time we leave our house, we can leave with the mentality of, how can I make someone's day better? Right? How can I affect somebody's life? Matthew 5:16 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven, right? The crazy thing is that you, in your life, you may be the only version of Jesus that somebody gets to see, right? You don't know what's going on in people's lives. You don't know what's going on behind closed doors at their homes. But when they come around you, you have an opportunity, and even more than that, you have a responsibility to show that person who Jesus is, because of what he's done in your life, and because of the way that you carry yourself, and the way that you serve others, right? Number three, serving is not going to be comfortable. Serving is not going to be comfortable. So, here's a little fun fact about Edgar. I hate blood. Like, I don't do blood, like, at all. So for my wife, we're actually praying for her to get saved because she loves to watch shows with a lot of blood. So, you know, we believe that the Lord's going to work on her heart and deliver her from that. But, like, she loves watching shows with, like, surgery and, like, people are, like, being wheeled in with, like, a leg missing and there's blood, like, squirting everywhere. And I'm like, how? Like, she's so nice and sweet, and I'm like, how do you, like, enjoy this? Like, I don't understand. I don't get it. And so I just, like, pray for her from afar, like, in the kitchen, like, Lord. Don't judge me, all right? Don't look at me like that. But I read this story and I read what's going on, and the Samaritan man, he had to clean the blood off of this guy that was laying on the floor, right? Because the Bible says that he was beaten and stripped of his clothes. And so I would imagine that this man's bruised up and that there's probably a good amount of blood, right? And so if I'm the Samaritan man, which like I like to put myself into Bible stories to kind of understand like what's going on. And so I put myself as a Samaritan man and I'm having to clean the blood off of this guy, like, you know, probably like gagging off to the side because it's super gross. He had to see some stuff that I'm sure like wasn't pleasant. He had to pick up a guy who had been robbed of his clothes. Like the Bible doesn't go into specifics as to how much he was wearing, but I would imagine it wouldn't be that much, right? So that's super uncomfortable, right? But I believe that this gives us an example that in our walk and in our desire to serve people, it's not always going to be the most comfortable, right? It's not always going to be the most comfortable. Because I can say that I love my neighbor, but what happens when my neighbor doesn't believe the same thing that I do? What happens when my neighbor doesn't walk out his life the way that I do? Right? That's where it gets a little weird, right? That's where it gets a little difficult. Yeah, I'm called to love my neighbor, but my boss, like he, like Edgar, you don't understand this guy, right? You're still called to serve that boss, right? You're still called to serve that person that always knows exactly how to get under your skin, right? Y'all know, somebody popped into your mind just now. That person, you're called to serve that person too, right? But you don't understand, he's rude, he's always in a bad mood, like he's always, like, I don't care. Like, you're called to serve, the Bible's clear, you're called to serve, right? Even if it's something that they will never know that you did, like, you're still called to do it, right? The thing about serving is that it's not about being noticed or recognized or, hey, look at me, look what I'm doing. The thing about serving is we have to be okay with being a servant and knowing that there's a chance that nobody will ever know what we did, right? That's really uncomfortable. That's not the most pleasant thing in the world because a lot of times, like, when we do something that's, like, stretching for us, we want people to know, you know? Like, hey, that was really hard for me, but I did it. But that's not always what we're called to do, right? The way that you serve people around you will say a lot about the God that you serve. Say that one more time. The way that you serve people around you will say a lot about the God that you serve. So what message about God am I giving if I'm walking around giving everyone a stank face all the time? What kind of God does that show? Not a great one, right? Not a great one. I don't want to serve that God. That dude's always mad. Like, why, you know, why would I want to jump on that? Serving someone is something that will stretch you big time. But in that stretching and in that pulling and in that discomfort is where we grow, right? That's where we grow. Between 6th and 7th grade, I grew like 6 inches, right? So I've been like this tall since like 6th grade, 7th grade. Yeah. I'm still depressed about it. It's okay. But I remember like I used to play basketball and like on the way home, I laid like in the back seat and I would just like dramatic cry. Like if you're a parent, you know. It's like, Mom, no, my legs, my knees, oh, right? And I hurt all the time because like literally I would have aches and pains like in my knees, in the back of my knees too. And I didn't understand why. My mom's like, what's because you're growing? And I was like, well, can we get this over with already? Because like, this is awful, right? But when I was growing and in that growth spurt, like there was tension and there was aching. There was a period where it was extremely uncomfortable to me because my body was growing, right? It was just stretching out quickly. To us, growing may not always be the most comfortable thing, right? But in order to change what's happening in our lives, we have to grow. In order to achieve what God is calling us to do, we have to grow. In order for us to see change in our communities, we have to grow. Right? We have to serve. We have to be willing to be uncomfortable. So I started looking into the Samaritans back in the time of Jesus, and I found something pretty interesting, and she hit on it a little while ago. But Samaritans weren't really liked all that much by the audience that Jesus was preaching to back then. So Jesus mostly stayed with and preached to the Jewish people, right? So back in the day, the Jewish people and the Samaritans, like, they had beef. Like, they didn't like each other, right? As a matter of fact, like, there was a very real and very tangible dislike between the two sides, and it was even hostile sometimes, right? Does that sound a little bit familiar in our country right now? Right, so I looked at this, and I was like, Jesus, like, why would you use a people group that the Jews hated to illustrate how they are supposed to get into heaven, right? Right? I believe that Jesus was trying to show us that we need to lay aside our presumptions and our preconceptions, our prejudgments, or any other thing that would hinder us from serving others. We need to set that aside and say, before anything else, I'm a follower of Jesus, and I'm going to show you what he's done in my life, right? Now more than ever do people need to see the love of God through us, right? There's so much division. There's so much hate. There's so many things going on. There's a shooting every other day. Right? Like, just yesterday, my hometown, like, there was a shooting and was, like, 20 people got killed? Five. That's how rumors get started. Five people got killed. But there's very obvious division in our country right now, right? How do we change things? How do we get our country back to where it needs to be? I think a big part of that is loving people and serving people and meeting people where they're at. Not jumping to conclusions or jumping to judge. I think we're called as a church and as a people to love on people and walk them to and through whatever it is that they're going through, right? Whether left wing, right wing, it's all the same bird, and it all needs Jesus, right? Right? So, basically, like, what I'm trying to say is, you know, we need to be an example of you know, the community and the city and the country that we want to see. But more importantly than that, I think that we're called to be examples of loving people like Jesus did and following his example in the Bible and what it means to walk with people through their issues, through their problems, through whatever it is that they're going through. That's what we're called to do. And to me, that's what loving my neighbor means, is regardless of what you believe, regardless of what I've heard about you, regardless of our disagreements, like, I'm going to love you, and I'm going to walk with you, because that's what Jesus did with me, right? So thank you guys for your time. I really appreciate it.
That was awesome. I was taking notes. but sometimes it is hard to love people, and sometimes it's hard to walk with people when it's really messy. But that's when they need us the most. And I don't, someone want to come play? Nobody's here. Okay, that's okay. I would sing. Okay, George will do something. But it was just a good reminder, you know, because sometimes we are called to love people that don't believe like we believe. And sometimes we're called to love that person that's the hardest person for us to love. And that's when we really need to lean into the Lord to give us strength and to give us wisdom and to give us compassion, because God loves that person wherever they're at. And I also think I was going to say something else. I can't remember. But this morning, you know, we started, you know, and I shared that our family, we've been in a battle this weekend. And as I walked into worship, the Lord just gave me what I needed. I'm leaving different than I came in. And those that were here when I first walked in probably can attest to that, because I was very frazzled. I couldn't even think. I haven't really slept in 3 days because taking care of an adult male that is sick is very difficult. And so I told Wayne I almost was going to call him last night and have him help me. But, you know, but I am so glad that I serve a God that's with me, even when I'm tired, and that gives me strength. And some of you need to come this morning and have someone agree with you in prayer. If people would like to come up to pray. But some of you need to have someone agree with you, something that you're walking through that you need some compassion this morning. You need someone maybe to cry with you. You need someone to give you a hug and tell you it's going to be okay. And so I encourage, you know, if you feel led to come forward, to please come forward. And
I just feel so blessed to be part of this body. I want to really just, everybody just close your eyes and have a moment with the Lord. Robin made an invitation for any of you who need somebody to be in agreement with you. There is power in prayer, and there is an amazing grace over Go Church. There's something specific, and I mean, I waited almost 3 years for the Lord to say, go to that place. That's where I need you to be. So if you have that need this morning, it's just you and the Lord, partner up with somebody today. If you don't, that's okay. I just want to take the moment to release the prophetic word that God gave to Lisa. I really feel strong in my spirit. It was very clear. It was just very clear. And I just want to say, in the name of Jesus, everybody strap yourself. Embrace yourself. Be ready to jump, because we were all called here for a season to launch. Everybody has a very important position and responsibility and a job and a calling and a gifting, and we belong all together to bring all of this forth. This is not a one-man show. This is the body of Christ. So I just pray, Lord Jesus, exactly just for the vision that you gave Pastor Lee and all of us to come together, Lord. And even though he's not here, he is here with us in spirit. He is here because he belongs here with us. And in the name of Jesus, Lord, we all come together. And as you said, we were preparing. We all walked out in faith. They walked out in obedience and faith in a sacrificial way of living for God. That is radical. And I just believe in the name of Jesus, Lord, that as we have obeyed and listened to you, and it may seem like it's not that glamorous to the world, but it is amazing to you, Lord, I pray that every single person will brace themselves, because when the Lord says release, surrender, there's nothing you can do but fly with me. Let the Spirit guide you. Those that are children of God, that are called by God, will not walk in the flesh, but they will walk by the Spirit. That we will walk and be led by you, Lord Jesus. And as Lisa said, as we surrender and we just look down, when you look down, that means you're up there with the Lord Almighty, that you're seated in heavenly places along with Jesus Christ. And when you look down, you just brace yourself and smell the aroma of the presence of God. And as we fall into his lap, into his presence, we just soar. We will soar. We will not be weary. We will not be tired. We will soar with the Lord, because he is with us. And yes, I agree with Robin. She's like, you know what? I have God. God is with me. And we were renewed by the worship today. You know why? Because he will never put you to shame. You trust in him. You believe in him. You surrender. Just brace yourself. He will not put you to shame. He will never put his children to shame. So, dear Heavenly Father, we just release this word in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that every family will be aligned to your word, aligned to your purposes. They will not go to the right or to the left, that they will be in your path, Lord, completely radical in love and just in complete obedience, Lord. And as Edgar said today, yes, amen, and I agree, Lord, to serve those that are unbearable, unlovable, that are different from us, it's the only way to show the power and the aroma of the mighty God that we serve. And it's such a time where the world in this country seems to be divided. Lord, you bring people together. You bring healing. You mend our hearts. And you have already, Lord, provided supernaturally for all our needs. So we come to you this morning, Lord, and just complete surrender. Just surrender. Just surrender. And just pray with me. Lord, I choose you. I choose you today. I give you my plans. I give you my agenda. I give you my thoughts for my life, for my family, for my future. You can have it all. Give me your plans. Give me your agenda. For I will obey and serve you for the rest of my life. Thank you, Lord, for bringing me to Go Church. Thank you for allowing us to be in this place. Thank you for allowing us to find our people. This is where we belong. And we just love you, Jesus, for what you're doing. In the name of Jesus, amen.
All right, well, I encourage y'all to have an amazing week. Continue to pray for your pastor. Pray for supernatural healing. I'm believing I'm going to go home and put something on Facebook. Let y'all know. Okay, thank you.